You are listening to the Legal Curve Postgame Podcast for Tuesday, March 22nd, 2016 Winnipeg Jets game against the Vancouver Canucks. And yeah, probably a little bit speechless at the quality of the game tonight. I mean, the Jets played well, putting a ton of shots on Jacob Markstrom, I always forget how you pronounce it. Anyhow, 48 shots tonight, which is pretty incredible. But just Vancouver's roster is like next level terrible. Putting that group out there, the defense, the forwards, I mean, Willie Desjardins got nothing to work with. The quality of player is just below par. So the Jets lineup certainly wasn't anything to write home about either. They played well, obviously almost got 50 shots, but take into consideration who they're playing here when evaluating this game. The final was 2-0, so there really isn't a ton to go through goal-wise. It's not going to be one of my longer podcasts. Having said that, we'll go through the goal, and one of the goals was empty netter. So first goal, only goal of the game, was in the third period. In terms of the first two periods, first period, Jets outshot Vancouver 13-10. Penalties, there was one for Marco Dano. I thought struggled tonight. In the first period for tripping at 9:24. In the first period, Jared McCann took a penalty for Vancouver of 4:50. So each team gets a power play opportunity in the first period. Nothing comes of either power play. And at the end of one, it was 0-0. You had chances and Markstrom made saves and the Jets hit a few posts throughout the game, but you didn't have many goals. You didn't have a lot of animosity or any animosity really between the teams. You could see this was a game that really meant very little. For the first two periods, really tough to watch. Even the third period, and overall, you feel bad for the paying public to watch games like this, and you wonder what the NHL is going to do to rectify the situation. And we talked about it a bit on Saturday's Legal Curve Hockey Show, and about what to do with the lottery. And I've given it some more thought this week, and something needs to be done. Put some ideas together, hopefully, and talk about them on Saturday's Legal Curve Hockey Show, because there's no NHL this week because of the Moose playing tomorrow night. But something needs to be done because you have too many teams that are putting out lineups of half AHL players, really. You look at the Jets lineup right now. Paul Postma's one. You have Halaschuk, two. Patan, three. Dano, four. He played in the AHL a lot of the year. Melchiori, five. Kosmachuk, six. DeLeo, seven. That's seven guys who have played considerable or sometime in the AHL this year on the Jets side. I mean, on the Vancouver side, your common hockey fan wouldn't recognize many names. So really, something to think about in terms of NHL prices, and you're going to have AHL lineups. Anyhow, second period, 19 shots for the Jets, 9 for Vancouver. This has been really Markstrom started to really prove himself in the game. Some are aware of his talent level, but really played well, had his glove going, a couple great saves, and you could see the Jets were wondering, are we going to have one of these games where we outshoot the other team, which happens fairly often, and we're snake-bitten. In the second period, there was a penalty for Nick Patan for tripping, so both penalties the Jets had tonight were smaller guys, Dano and Patan, both for tripping. And penalty in the second period, there were two to the Vancouver Canucks. Triamkin is their newest Russian-born defenseman. I thought overall Nikita Triamkin, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, he played 21 minutes tonight, 20:59 to be exact, 28 shifts, 19:11 at even strength. I was pretty impressed by him, actually. He made some turnovers, but overall he played pretty well. So they probably like what they see if you're playing him 21 minutes a night. That's pretty impressive. He gets one hooking penalty. The other penalty was to Alex Biega for cross-checking. That was on Mark Scheifele at 14:46. Didn't love that call, actually. I thought Scheifele went down a little easy there. Biega's not a big guy and has to battle for position. But overall, I didn't think there's too much of a problem with the reffing. There was no penalties in the third period. So heading into the third, Jets were up 32 shots-wise, 32-19. So you can see who was carrying the play. Getting to the third period, and the Jets just kept bringing it home. 17 shots in the third. So only 9 from Vancouver, and they were pushing pretty hard there at the beginning, and that's when they got their goal. The goal was Adam Lowry's sixth of the season. Assist to Matt Halaschuk, his first assist of the year, and Chris Thorburn, his sixth assist of the year. Chris Thorburn starts this play. He gets the puck in his own zone, and he leads it. He's kind of on his own, and he sees the Canucks defenseman. I'm going to mispronounce his name, too. I've been on a hot streak with mispronouncing names tonight. Andre Pedan. I assume it's Pedan, not Pedan, but if I'm saying that incorrectly, I apologize. A lot of guys, you know, I haven't seen play before. Anyhow, he sees Pedan, and he sees that he has a little bit more steam, He in his own zone, he banks the puck off the left boards and just pursues. And so he banks the puck off the left boards, and he just starts pursuing. And he's able to get it around Pedan, who skates pretty well for a pretty big guy. He pressures him, and the puck ends up, you know, banking over kind of through the neutral zone to his own zone, to the offensive zone for Thorburn, and to Pedan's own zone. And he's able to actually get in front of him, angle him, and he gets the puck and kind of gets a partial breakaway, kind of a weak backhand on Markstrom, but he drives through the net on the left side. And Matt Halaschuk is following up. He ends up following up, and he draws two to three defenders. Kind of gets a rebound. It looks like he kind of hits the rebound with his skate, hits it into Markstrom, and makes a nice save. And the puck's kind of sitting there, and Adam Lowry comes in as a third man. So the Canucks already have three guys back. Lowry comes in as a third man, kind of through the left side of the offensive zone, through to the crease. He picks up the puck because it's loose. Nobody really knows where it is for a second. When he picks it up, there's two guys on Halaschuk. Halaschuk's kind of in the crease, but they're pushing him into the crease. I'll talk about the challenge in a second. Lowry picks it up, goes around the net. And when he goes around the net, he's able to reach with his long reach. He gets a backhand wraparound, beats Markstrom to the corner. Markstrom had problems pushing off because of the traffic in the crease. Lowry puts it in. Pedan reacts late, and it's 1-0. And that goal's rare for a number of reasons. First of all, you rarely see backhand wraparounds anymore. That was more common in the 90s and 80s. Backhand wraparound, usually the control of the stick on the tip, is hard to put that puck in the corner, and the goalies are so big and so quick to get across. That's rare. Anyhow, here Markstrom thought he was interfered with. On the replay, it didn't look like there was much interference. Willie Desjardins challenged the play. He lost the challenge. If anything, Halaschuk was pushed into the netminder and then kind of moved off a bit. And I didn't even think he interfered with him too much. Maybe Markstrom felt like he couldn't push off the left foot. In any event, I thought that was the right call. Pedan, though, is the guy who gets victimized here. First off, he gets beat by Thorburn in the neutral zone. Then he's late to realize Lowry has the puck, then late to get a stick down on the post to be able to stop that wraparound. So even if he gets a stick on stick of Lowry, then you're able to stop that play. He's not able to stop that play. Markstrom kicking himself because he thinks that's an unfair goal. Plus, he's played a masterful game to that point, and after that, actually. So Jets get on the board 1-0. You're thinking most fans are probably, well, in attendance, fans are cheering, although you're thinking most fans want the Jets to lose. Anyhow, the players play to win, as we've said many times on the air. And the Jets were able to close it off at 19:37, an even-strength empty netter. That first goal was an even-strength, by the way. Even-strength empty netter. Mark Scheifele, after being high-sticked, just the blue line, of his own blue line, he's able to come down later on with a nice little passing play with Blake Wheeler, and he scores his 24th goal of the season, Blake Wheeler with his 45th assist, and the Jets win 2-0. Andre Pavlik gets a shutout. He faced 28 shots. He was the third star of the night. His first shutout, Dave Minuk tells me, of illegalcurve.com, since last season, the playoff clinching game for the Jets. So a little fact there for you. I'm sure that'll work its way through the papers this evening and tomorrow. But overall, you know, Pavlik played a solid game. Wasn't as challenged, certainly, as Markstrom was. He was a third star. Second star was Adam Lowry. And first star was Jakob Markstrom. In terms of any other kind of things of significance, I thought Nick Batan played a real good game on the first line left wing. Gets to play with Scheifele and Wheeler. Gets a ton more room. Gets a ton of chances. Really should have had a point or two. Almost had an empty netter. So you have to like what you saw there. If you're the Jets, you throw them up there next game against LA. Totally different matchup. Better defense, bigger team, tougher team to play against. So you get to see what he's all about. But he gets some confidence, I think, from tonight's game. So that was something to work off of. In terms of ice time, Jets were led by Dustin Bufflin on the back end, 24-15. If you do listen to this podcast, you know that I've been a little bit critical of Paul Maurice in terms of overplaying his veterans, especially now at the end of the season. You know, what's the purpose? And you have other guys on the bench you might as well get a look at. Tonight, Dustin Bufflin plays 24-15. And I like that, dropping that down from 28-29. And the last game was overtime, but still he plays him a lot. So 24-15 was leading ice time, leading skater ice time-wise for the Jets. Leading forward was Mark Scheifele, 21 minutes and 5 seconds for him. Nick Batan played 20-33, so you can see the confidence that Paul Maurice had in Nick Batan tonight. In terms of Vancouver, Dan Hamm, who's, to be honest, the only reasonably talented two-way defenseman on the Vancouver Canucks, I mean, at least at this point, that they have confidence in. You know, Hutton's going to be a guy who brings more offense. You know, we're talking about Triamkin earlier. Triamkin, he, you know, you want to see what you get, and he played 20 minutes, but you got to offensively and defensively. Hamus obviously is a more seasoned guy. He played 25-39, actually led all skaters in this game. And when you look at forwards, the Canucks really did spread it out, and that's ugly because they didn't have much on offense. Henrik Sedin led the ice time 17-42, and Sedin's looked a little slow today. And, you know, you can't blame him in terms of not being able to turn it on or be able to just get motivated to play these games. It's tough for them, and you wonder if the Canucks do the full facelift in the offseason. Something to consider. How to move those guys is a whole different story, and certainly a segment two or three on our show. So I hope you enjoyed the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. Somehow I talked for 11 minutes after that game. We're not on the air, as I mentioned, tomorrow, but we will be. And there won't be a podcast on Thursday because I'm doing the pre- and post-game with Rick Ralph on TSN 1290. But Saturday morning, 6 a.m., early game because Buffalo Jets play in Buffalo at noon. So 6 a.m. on Saturday. Hope you tune in. Thanks.